Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, how you doing there? This is Matthew McConaughey, and you are listening to the Court Case Podcast. All right, all right, all right.
Hello, and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with me, your host, James Court.
And Sweetie.
We've got a packed show for you today. We're going to be talking about the podcast festival that we went to. We're going to be chatting Squid Games because it's taking the world by storm, as well as the theatre, and we're going to be putting our verdict on all of those. It's all coming right after this.
Whoop!
Good afternoon, Sweet Tea. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What was that?
No, just this is nice because we're having like a little catch up about how our week's gone.
Yes.
Been a while since we've done like an actual episode about like us and what we've been up to and like giving reviews and stuff. It's normally been about what's in the news and topics and stuff like that. So it would be an interesting podcast chat.
Yes, I have got one particular news story coming up.
Of course he does. You can't not have a court case without a bit of news.
Yeah, no, exactly. But we've done some good stuff. Like I'm looking forward to chatting about the podcast festival.
Me too.
Things like that. And to talk about other stuff like Squid Games.
The theatre.
Yes, it's sort of a theatre and film and TV.
Who knows what we'll call
today.
The episode, but it'll be more like a reviews.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, review. Yeah, because I could chat a bit about James Bond as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first story that I wanted to get to is one that was actually sent to us by a listener.
Ooh.
By Max in
Spooky Season. Ooh.
Yes. By Max in Hailing Island.
Ooh, Max in Hailing Island. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I have not told you what this story is.
No.
So you're going to hear about it for the first time. But basically, the basic story is there's this bakery in Leeds and they're having an absolute mare because someone reported them over using illegal sprinkles.
What?
So you know like sprinkles you put on cakes and ice creams? Right. So they've had someone report them because they're using illegal sprinkles. And
illegal sprinkles, is that
they go into why the sprinkles are illegal.
All right.
But on their Facebook page, the guy who must be the owner of the place, it's called Get Baked. It's a bakery.
That's a fucking fantastic name.
Yeah, I know. And he's just going at it on his Facebook. I'm going to read some of his posts. So the first one that started the, it's called Sprinklegate, the whole situation, says, just a quick heads up to let you all know that we're closed tomorrow for the following reasons. Number one, staff training. Number two, you need to get some other important shit done. The swearing is actually written on the post.
Wow.
Number three, everyone's fucking knackered. This weekend has been utterly sensational. We've had customer visits from countless cities, sold fuck tons of Bruce in various forms. Now, when they say sold Bruce, I have gathered from reading this, I've deduced that Bruce is kind of like their version of a caterpillar cake, maybe. So, you know, they've got like Colin the Caterpie.
Right,
and
that would make sense.
I assume Bruce is their sort of animal cake. So, he said, we've sold fuck tons of Bruce in various forms. Oh, and not to mention a lovely visit from Trading Standards on Friday after someone reported us for using what we are apparently illegal sprinkles. More on that next week. Hope you all fail. Get baked.
That's brilliant.
So then...
So what, was this like a Facebook or Instagram post?
This is all happening over Facebook.
Right.
And so it goes into the replies of some people to sort of further explain. And he says, The sprinkles are imported from the USA and may contain colourings that aren't allowed over here. They're being tested and we will find out next week. I realise how insane this is. Unfortunately, I am only prepared to use them and no others. If I can't use them, I won't use any. I will be on sprinkle strike and won't budge for no man.
Oh my God, he sounds like an absolute nutter.
Yeah, I know. And then he replied to someone again. He said, anyone who's into sprinkles will know what I'm on about. Sprinkles you can get in this country are totally shit. They look wank, they bake wank. Birthday Bruce will never be the same again. I've generally lost sleep over this, not to mention the raspberry glazed donut cookie. Don't even get me fucking started. I'll tell you one thing though, if this doesn't result in a new t-shirt slogan, I'm hanging up my fucking hat. Done and done. Right, so those are his comments on the post. And he did one final Sprinklegate update,
yeah,
at the end of the story, where he said, it's not good news. We have heard back from Trading Standards and have been told that we must cease use of our sprinkles with immediate effect.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Obviously, we will be following the rules and removing them as of now. Whilst this might seem like it's not a big deal, it's actually very fucking annoying, as a lot of people ask for birthday Bruce's and raspberry glazed donut cookies are not only our best-selling cookie, but they're utterly sensational. It is highly unlikely that we will find any legal sprinkles that we will use as a replacement. British sprinkles just aren't the same. They're totally shit and I hate them. I am extremely passionate about sprinkles. I need to think this one over. We will obviously need to make some adjustments to the menu in order to compensate for this truly horrendous ordeal. One option, where the RGDCs are concerned, is to glaze them as normal but just not use sprinkles. It makes me sick just thinking about it. To whoever reported us to Trading Standards, all I have to say is, dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Dear Lord. What a sad little life, Jane.
My daughter, who is now 7 months, has to live with the fact that Daddy can't take her to Disneyland because man can't sell any fucking cookies. Done and done. Get baked.
Oh my God. One, he's bloody the most hilarious businessman on social media I've come across.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't even know that that was a thing. Like, there's like a sprinkle cult where you got the best sprinkles from different countries. Like, I want to know what these sprinkles taste like if they're that good. I know that America does have different like coloring rules on, because obviously blackcurrant changed its recipe because it was really high in E numbers and colourings and stuff like that. And that's why it doesn't taste as nice anymore. Same with Ribena, I believe. So I knew that, but I didn't know that would be in sprinkles and it would make it taste or look different. That's just crazy to me.
It's just the thing.
He's like studies them. Like, clearly. Do sprinkles in the UK really look that much different to the American ones? I really want to see what the American ones look like.
I know that there's drinks in the US that they can't sell in the UK because like they've got way too much sugar in
them. Yeah.
Like, you won't get one of my favourite drinks, Code Red Mountain Dew. You just don't get it in the UK, really.
It's mad, isn't it?
So, which is annoying. But the thing that I've driven away from this, and a lot of things this week that I've found in the news or from stuff that we've been doing, is it's amazing to me how passionate people will get about different things they love and how you can grow up and you can just be into completely different things. Like, you've got this guy who's a baker who's mad about fucking sprinkles. And for example, I have my podcast with the other people that I do at work and they're all passionate about leadership and decision making. And there's one thing that I noticed this morning. My friend sent me this guy's TikTok account and he's also appeared on Lad Bible. And I don't know if you've seen him, but there's this boy currently in the UK who is mad obsessed with trains.
Yes.
And train spotting. And to the point where he does these videos and TikToks where he's waiting on a bridge. He's like, I'm waiting for this sort of train. And as soon as the train comes by and honks him,
he's so happy.
Fucking mental.
It's wholesome, isn't it?
It's the funnest videos I've seen in ages.
Bless him.
He's just so happy. And it's just mad to me, like I love like podcasting. I love going to the movies. Mm. And that's how I get like joy. And he gets his joy from something completely different.
Yeah.
And everyone is completely
It's sad
different.
Though, because some people would, you know, roast someone like that over things like that, because to them it's a weird thing to get excited about. But why is it? Because that's a part of life.
Yeah, because I saw people on Lab Bible that were like, oh, this is a bit fucking weird. And people were applying to it and being like, yeah, like you getting fucking ecstatic over goals in the pub. Yeah. Is any different?
Yes. Yes. Oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
It's just what people find happiness in.
I think also though, like, I think that guy knows that it is funny that he's so passionate about sprinkles, because you've never heard that before. And obviously I never even knew there was a difference between different brands sprinkles and stuff like that. So
yeah, he had to do the train boy had to do a video proving that he's not fake and he's not putting it on. Because people were like, is this some sort of funny act where you're like really over the top, or like you're playing some goofy, geeky character? And he had to do a video basically saying like, no, this is genuine, this is what I love doing and stuff.
Fucking hell, that's crazy. Uh-huh. So what if he was? Just,
yeah.
He's having a good
it's
time.
Funny anyway.
And I'm not being funny. People like, it's weird because people like that, they get the attention and they get the views and they get the follows because they're so out of the ordinary. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Great. Like great. That guy, the guy making the meals and dancing at the moment, that everyone's
oh my
about.
God, he's on everyone's For You page, bless him. I don't get it. I do not understand it. I hope that one day he comes out with why he does it and when he started doing it. But it's just hilarious.
Some of his meals are disgusting.
It is disgusting. And also 100%, he's pouring on some really hot stuff on top of things. Like, he burns his mouth because he chucks it straight in there and he just dances it off.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why he does it? Because he's like, fuck my mouth. Okay, let's dance this
he's
off.
He's dancing to wear off the heat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Christ. We'll move on to one of the main topics of today's thing. Is there is a TV show that is sweeping the nation at the moment.
I think everyone's watching it.
Yep, and I mean, we binged it all the way through.
I think we watched it in 2 days, through 3 days.
I think it was about three. It took about no longer than a week for us to get through.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised. And obviously we're talking about Squid Game.
Huh?
It is the most popular show on Netflix. It's beat Bridgerton. Bridgerton, it was about 82 million views in their first month. Squid Game is 111
That
views.
Is mad numbers.
It is mad numbers, but one thing that I want people to pay attention to is the fact that Netflix have said that they count a view as someone that has watched the show for longer than 2 minutes.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can just watch it for 2 minutes and it counts as a view. So
see, I said to James that I think it should be judged on if you watch 2 minutes of the last episode.
Yeah.
The full episode, the full first episode, that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Because if you get to the last episode, then surely that's classed as you've watched it. Because somebody said to me, oh yeah, I've watched Squid Games, but I'm only on like the 7th episode. Well, then you haven't watched it, have you? Because you don't know how it ends. So you haven't watched it. Do you know what I mean?
You're watching Squid Games.
So that doesn't count until you've watched it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? But then it's the same with like podcast count. Like when somebody even clicks onto our podcast, even clicks onto the episode, straight away it's a count.
Yeah.
But with other things, if you've completed something, you know, it doesn't get counted until you've done it. So it's just, it is odd.
But there's a story for Squid Games, which I find really interesting with it. The guy, the man that made it, I don't know his name, but he had the idea in 2008, which is years and how many years ago? That's like what? That's over 10 years.
12 years ago?
Yeah, about 12 years ago. That was the year that the first Iron Man movie came out.
Yeah.
And it's a battle royale film. It's people pitting against each other. And this was before Hunger Games came out as well. So he had this idea before Hunger Games, because there could be people that watch this that are like, this is like a Hunger Games ripoff. But he had this before.
Yeah.
It's just he took it to studio to studio to studio and they just wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
And he's persevered for 12 years.
It's like
years.
That J.K. Rowling, isn't it?
Yeah, I think she had that problem.
With Harry Potter as well.
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it? Because then they both became really big things.
Yeah. And this is the thing as well, where studios, they all want to do sequels. They all want to do things that have a big name star. This is a show that is original. It's not got any big name actors, not for Western audiences anyway. And it's taken the world by storm. It's the most popular thing ever.
Yeah.
It's like, if you do put money into original ideas, some of them are going to pay off.
Yeah. Do you know what's weird though? Like, Maybe I feel like this because of the age I am, but I feel like if that came out in 2012 or 13 or whenever he first thought of it, I personally don't feel like it would have been as big as it was this time round. And that's maybe because I am the age that I am, so I'll be more interested in watching it now than I was back then. But also, like, Hunger Games wasn't that big back then. Like, I watched that and I enjoyed it, but I didn't know many people that watched Hunger Games and enjoyed it.
Well, the first few movies were smash hits, I'm pretty sure. But then, like, it died down, I think.
Yeah, but, like, obviously Netflix has, not improved, but, like, has become more popular. Like, most people I know has a Netflix account now. Whereas when I was in school, you would be borrowing your mates every now and then. Do you know what I mean?
What's weird is I hated the Hunger Games with a passion. I really didn't like them.
Really?
Because the premise, right, is they're kids. It's in this dystopian world where they're kids, and, like, every year or every few years, they pick certain kids and they have to fight each other to the death.
Yeah.
Whichever one wins becomes, like, the champion and gets to feed their village or something. Ridiculous. And the thing is about that is it was just, and the way they made them, they were just so depressing. They made it so dark, and obviously it's a crappy situation that they're in, an idea, but it was so,
I mean, Squid Game's dark.
But the thing is with Squid Games is it was dark, but the world around them was still colourful. Their costumes were still colourful, and the games that they had them play were games that you at home could think about how you would do in that situation, and they also had twists and turns that changed the plot. With the Hunger Games, it was just them killing each other, so there wasn't much you had to think about, and it was just dark and fucking depressing. And then the sequel, they just put them in the Hunger Games again. They didn't, like, change the games around. Awful.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Whereas I think there was so much more appeal to this format. And you also, they added another layer. You've got the mystery of the people that are running the Squid Games. What's going on with that? But I did want to talk about, obviously, what my first reaction was after we finished the first episode.
Yeah, so if it wasn't really for me saying, James, come on, give it another try.
And
James,
my brother.
And your brother, you probably wouldn't have watched it because he was like, no.
I was a little bit traumatised.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. The thing is, that sort of situation that they're in, particularly in the first episode, I think we'll spoil, like, the first, like, three episodes or something, because, you know, it's been
out. To be fair, the first episode, it was quite scary because they got thrown straight into it. But I think once we knew what was happening, the other episodes didn't seem as scary.
For me, it was the second episode, once they had a choice to do it.
Yeah, that, you were fine with
that's
it.
That's when I was like, okay, cool, all bets are off.
See, I didn't know about the choice. Like, I had an idea about stuff that was happening because the TikTok fucking spoiled it for me. So I knew majority of the games and majority of the characters, but I didn't know that at the beginning they had, like, a choice to then go back a second time, which then I feel that made watching the show a lot easier, because then you do think, oh, well, they put themselves in this situation and they know fully well what's going on.
So, because basically in the first episode, they're all taken to, they can say yes, they're chatted to this guy on a train station and they're convinced they go do these games. They're knocked out, they're taken to this room on an island somewhere, and they're made to play this game of red light, green light, and basically anyone that's eliminated, they kill. And at the end of that episode, I was like, they've been knocked out. This is, like, nightmare fuel for me. In a situation like that, where it's fight or flight and you're just going to die, that freaks the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to watch any more of the show. And then we finished watching it and we went to bed and you wanted to watch more.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can. I'm not going to lie to you. And then I went home, and about a day later, I spoke to Billy about it, my brother, and he was like, have you watched any more? I was like, I don't think I can. It's a bit for me. And psychologically throwing it for me. And he was like, why? And I was like, that situation where you can't get out of it. He was like, okay, watch episode two. He was like, they have the choice whether to do it or not. And I was like, I watched episode two, and it's like, it completely flipped in my brain. I was like, I need to watch the rest of this. As soon as he said that, that was the thing, like, that's then made it different than things like the Hunger Games and other Battle Royale stuff.
Yeah.
Is that where they've added that bit in, where they can have the choice to do it or not.
It's really interesting.
That I found really interesting as well.
Yeah, and you know what's annoying is because, like, if that wasn't the case, if James wasn't told that they had a choice, and he would have found out from watching it, But he wasn't going to watch it because James is so passionate. He's so set in his fucking ways. Like, oh my God, like, Tegan, you're watching this. Tegan, you're watching that. Okay, but James, you're watching this. No, too scared. This. No, I'm not watching that.
Me.
Yeah, but I couldn't convince you. But if it was the other way around, I feel like you would have an easier job convincing me to watch something than I would have an easier job convincing you to watch something because you're so passionate about what you like and what you don't like and what you're going to give a chance and what you're not going to give a chance.
Yeah,
okay. I am really thankful that your brother said, look, mate, give it another go. And we've actually really enjoyed it.
Speaking of giving it a chance, I'm going to try and carve out some time to watch you for you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's an excellent program as well. But going back to Squid Game, I think, like, I love it, but one thing that pisses me off about this show, same with Squid Games and stuff like that. Why do they all, like, it's so predictable and annoying because they always keep the main character alive. And yes. I know what everyone's thinking, it's the main character, but how fucking jarring is it that it's the main character that survives? Because then you're watching something, you're like, oh, this whole time he's gonna live, he's gonna somehow, oh, you think he's gonna die because he's off the edge of a cliff? Nope, he survived because he's the main character. Like, make it exciting, kill somebody off and get somebody else the main character. Bit like Game of Thrones, never watched it, being told that that's what happened.
Love Game of Thrones.
But like, I just think that's such a sick idea because it's so the same, like the main characters always end up with a happy, not happy ending, but always alive. And
for Squid Game's credit, there are at least two or more deaths that I did not think were going to happen.
Yeah, same.
At all.
Yeah.
But they've
coming out with a season two in December, so that makes me feel like, do you know what my predictions for season two, and I'm going to say this now before it comes out so anyone listening, they'll be like, oh wow, I could be wrong, but I think season two, because obviously it's coming out so soon after season one was released, it's going to kick off right from the point it ended. I don't want to say where it ended in case people haven't watched it, but where it ends is where it's going to start season two. And also, I think that a certain someone who has been shot isn't dead.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yes, and I don't want to say, but just because I feel like you have to physically see that someone's been shot, like killed, dead on the floor kind of thing, stone cold out, for me to actually believe it, because that's what's happened to somebody else in the show. And yeah. Enough said, because I feel like I've already spoiled a shit ton. But
I don't think you have, no. But if that's your thing, is that you want the deaths to be more sort of random and it makes it a bit more realistic, I do think you should give like the first at least four seasons of Game of Thrones.
You know what I'm like though, with starting things that have been out for a while, I'm just like, oh my God, that's a bit slow to the race.
But it's mental. The first season, they have a main character throughout the whole season, and then
they just kill him off, you said.
Yeah, not even in it, even it's the episode before the last episode of that season.
Mad, isn't it?
It's so good. And
I find that so interesting, like just to switch the dynamic. And that is very similar to what happened in the theater last night as well, actually.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, but no, they do, and that's not even the first time. They do it all the time in Game of Thrones. You could constantly don't know who's going to live and who's going to die. Apart from the past couple seasons where you're like, well, they're not going to kill that person now.
Yeah.
Which kind of made it annoying.
All in all, I would rate Squid Game 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. 5 bags of popcorn.
I give it 5 bags of popcorn and 5 cold glasses of soda to put between my legs.
Yeah, I'd fucking enjoyed it. And I'm obviously very excited for the next one.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would recommend it to people to watch.
Mm. Speaking of things that other people have watched, I went and saw James Bond.
I did not. I haven't seen any James Bond, so I didn't go and watch it.
I was thoroughly impressed. It's not as, for anyone that's watched all of the Daniel Craig Bond films, it's not as good as Casino Royale and Skyfall, but it is better than Quantum of Solace and Spectre, because those films are pants.
Oh, what a word, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst one of the Daniel Craig
films.
What
does Quantum of Solace mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't watched it in years and years. I haven't watched it since I saw it in cinemas, so that's got to be about 2006.
So, No Time to Die, did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I got emotional at the end.
Ah.
I did feel myself like, oh, okay.
Because you told someone today that you cried.
Yeah, no, I was being, I don't know why.
You've been humble.
I was being humble, yeah. But it's a fantastic film. Classic James Bond. Good one-liners. There's nice-looking women in it. Beautiful. Ana de Armas is a amazing actress.
Who?
And have you've seen Knives Out with me?
Yeah.
You know the girl in Knives Out, the cleaner, sort of the main girl woman that is originally accused of the murder and then ends up in her
I feel like I need to see a photo to know who she
inheriting
is.
Inheriting the house at the end.
Right.
It's her, and she's fantastic.
In What's her name?
Ana de Armas.
That's a very cool name, that.
Yeah, I think she's like Latino or something.
Oh.
Very cool name, and she's going to have an amazing... Well, she's already having an amazing career. She Knives Out had Daniel Craig in it, so she's been acting with Daniel Craig in two movies.
Wow.
Fantastic.
They're going to hit it off.
Yeah, so James Bond was really good. We've watched Squid Games. That was amazing. I'm trying to think of what other stuff. How are you doing?
Brassic.
Oh, yeah, we started Brassic last
night. I don't know if this is a thing that people can get in America, Brassic. But it's on Sky TV.
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
The bull semen episode last night.
Oh, my God. It is just absolute brilliant. I love Michelle Keegan so much. So anything that she's in, I am there.
Yeah. So they were trying to wank off bulls to sell their semen last episode, weren't they? Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
How are you doing with... We're watching Ant-Man tonight. We're doing the Sweet Tea's first ever Marvel watch. How are you finding it so far? You're getting invested now.
Yeah, we're doing a bit of a marathon. I am enjoying them, to be fair, which is annoying to say because I've had that stubborn... there's no point starting them now. It's been too long. Like, I was just about Game of Thrones, but...
But the
thing I am
is,
enjoying it.
The thing is with this one is it's ongoing, so you can start it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, everything. I enjoy most things that I watch. It's just having the time and the energy to watch it. That's the problem I struggle with. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to enjoy Marvels at all because it's brilliant, and I really enjoyed The Boys. Again, another film that I don't think everyone can... that I don't think everyone can have access to, especially in America.
No, they got it in America.
Have they?
Amazon Prime, it's on everywhere.
The Boys. Oh my God, watch it then if you need it.
Gotta love The Boys. It's like the anti-Marvel.
Yeah. But yeah, really enjoyed The Boys, so no doubt I was going to enjoy Marvel. And Ant-Man, I love Paul Rudd, so I'm very excited
really
for that.
It's really funny. It's really good.
And I love Iron Man, so he's been amazing in... it's been good, to be fair.
You cried when Groot died?
No, I don't cry. Me?
You did, didn't you?
No, I didn't cry.
I wasn't expecting. But I did them. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think the reason I apparently cried was because, like, I just found it so amazing that he literally just said three words.
And they got so much emotion out of
it. And it got so much emotion. And I felt so attached to him.
Yeah.
And... he had a friend that literally understood every I Am Groot meant.
Yeah,
And then seeing him upset because he died made me upset.
What's mental from this point onwards is that Rocket, the raccoon, he gets some of the biggest emotional arcs going forward. And he has some of the hardest moments. He's this little raccoon that sort of, he acts like he hates everyone else, but he doesn't really. And him learning to have a family and be with a family of people is something that goes over multiple movies going forward. And it's really interesting to watch. And Bradley Cooper doing the voice.
Yeah.
He has a fantastic voice as Rocket. He's really good. But yeah, no, fantastic movies. And we're going to move on to, I think now... Let's talk about, we went to the theatre the other day, didn't we?
Or we could talk about the podcast festival.
The podcast
Which
festival.
Which one?
let's do the podcast festival first. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Kind of chronological order.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Chronological.
Chronological, isn't it?
No, chronological.
Oh. I love a word that I pronounced wrong.
I prefer chronological, so we'll
chronological.
Use that.
That's sicker, isn't it?
Yeah, sicker. Chronological order.
What is wrong with me today?
So
carrying off chronological order, we went to the BBE, I knew you said BBC, BBE podcast event in London.
It was in Hoxton in London.
Hoxton. Which is a very nice place, actually. I really enjoyed that area of London.
I did as well. I had a nice donut place, didn't I?
Yeah.
We were...
Very industrial, though.
Yeah, it was very
like a lot of tall buildings, but they were very like cool shaped and stuff.
We were invited free of charge. They messaged us on Instagram like it's approaching your podversary, so we wondered if you would like to come.
Which we haven't actually mentioned yet in this episode, but we'll get to
it. It's coming up. I'm trying to figure out some plans for a special episode for that. I'm trying to get us into a studio somewhere, but I'm trying to get these people that were originally replying to my emails, now they've stopped replying to my emails, and I'm trying to figure
this out.
It's
the setbacks of having a business.
It is, yeah. So I'll try and send them another email tonight or tomorrow. But anyway... So we were invited by the BBE to Hoxton in London. We didn't really know. We've never been to a podcast festival before. We were very grateful to be asked. I mean, it's nice to have a podcast where someone messages you and asks to make an appearance at their festival. That's obviously crazy, a lovely thing. So we turn up there. It's downstairs. It kind of looks like a stand-up venue. If anyone's seen Seinfeld, it looks like when Jerry is performing it with a red curtain,
yeah,
microphones.
Very cozy.
Yeah, it's very cozy. So we sat at a table. We got a couple of extremely expensive drinks in. And basically, there was a lineup of different podcasters. And they would perform their podcast live. And then they would do some sort of question and answers or open up to debate, and they would chat things. And then there'd be breaks in between those podcasts
where we'd network
where people would network and we'd meet people.
And we met some fantastic people.
Yes.
We actually did. We met some great podcasters, some people that have got very similar podcasts to us. We met some people that do like editing. I don't know what they're called.
We met a sound engineer called Elliot.
He was very lovely.
And also we made good friends with the Unhinged and Bumbled Up
podcast,
a dating podcast where it was two hosts, but only one of the hosts was there. His live performance was great because everyone was debating. It was mental.
It was a very passionate debate.
It was very passionate. It got to a point where this girl asked him about first dates and who should pay on the first date and things like that. And it got into a very fierce debate.
Yeah, it did.
I put my 2 cents in.
Yeah, what's crazy is It could have gotten a lot nastier, but there was another podcast there called Your Aunties Would Never. And they seemed to like tone it down and be like, look, like everyone has different opinions, like you know, that's just her upbringing, that's how she thinks, that's your upbringing, that kind of thing. So kind of settled the tone, because at the end of the day we don't need to be at each other, but it's interesting to hear everyone having different opinions and different views on topics. But
My opinion got some cheers and then a couple oohs in which is great.
Controversial, you know, and I'm so out of my depth and it's so out of my comfort zone.
You
like,
struggled a bit, didn't you?
We did leave a little bit early because I was just like, this is too much for me. I don't like confrontation, I don't like arguments, I don't like debates. And that's basically what it turned into at one point. And I was just like, oh my God. And like, they ask you as well, they're like, oh, what do you think? I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I do know, I fully well fucking know. I have a paragraph in my head, but am I fuck gonna say it? No.
Like, get that out of you.
I know, but I'm comfortable doing it on a podcast when it's just me and my boyfriend, like, you know, in a living room. But, you know, when I'm in front of people that I don't know, in an in a place I don't know, It just scares me a little bit because you want people to agree with you. I don't deal well with people that are like, no, you're wrong.
Fair enough.
Or get angry back, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
I'd rather stay out of it.
We very briefly got up on stage, advertised our podcast a little bit, which is nice.
There should be like, we might find a photo and which we need to message him about, actually. There'll be a photo coming onto the Instagram soon of us on the stage, as well as a little video of James talking, not me, for obvious reasons. I'm a nervous fucking wreck. And so James was just advertising our podcast and I was just standing there like a melon.
Yeah, we were moral support for me.
Yeah, I guess.
We will, I'll try and find that photographer guy and I'll message him. He followed us, so we'll have to find him. But no, it was a great experience, and they would like us back next year, I think, to actually perform on
which
stage.
Which scares the living daylights out of me.
Which we will have to get you used to.
Which will have to get me absolutely paralytic drunk to get back up on that stage.
Or we should just like perform the court case in front of our friends or something.
Oh my God. I would just say that I'm really, really ill. I can't come and leave James hanging.
I'll just do it on my own.
You'd be all right, though. You don't care about that type of stuff. Like, you literally used to work for a radio station. This is so out of my depth.
I understand that, yeah. But the thing is with court case, I feel like now is very much our baby. And I wouldn't feel as comfortable just doing it on stage on my own.
I know. And to be fair, I would be absolutely fine, like, after, like, 20 minutes of actually talking and being on the stage and, like, getting some interaction. But it's the initial getting up there. But to be fair, everyone was nervous that going up there. And you could tell that people... like, especially the Unhinged and Bubbled Up podcast, he said himself, I'm really nervous. And I think that's the best thing to do, is just be open about the fact that you are nervous, and then hopefully people won't give you a hard fucking time.
Yeah. He did seem very, 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 very nervous, but he did get into it.
But to be fair, he was on his own, and just before him, there was a group of four lovely ladies who went up there, and they all had each other's back and stuff like
that's
that. So
a good point.
It's a bit of a completely different dynamic.
Yeah. The one thing that I took away from watching them as well is some of them touched on some hot button issues, and they didn't seem scared to do that at all.
No.
And obviously we cover some controversial stuff, but I would like to do some more in the future.
I think the reason we don't is because I'm very set in my ways in what I say and what I don't say. And like, I'm one of those people that if someone tells me an opinion and I don't agree with it, I'll just say that I'll agree with it even if I don't. Yeah. So when we're at that event and people were saying that they don't agree with like something that someone said, I'm like, oh my god, what? They've just said that they don't agree with them. Like, I'm so not used to that being a situation. Like, I just thought it was society norm to be like, oh yeah, you're right, and then be like, no.
Yeah,
like behind their back, which is awful, but I think it's just because I don't like confrontation, so I just try and please I'm a people pleaser as well, so I try to please everyone and make sure that they're on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I mean, there's been some stuff in the news lately, like the Dave Chappelle stuff that I would love to talk about, and some other things, and that Jessie Nelson stuff in the news at the moment, which I personally think she is.
I'm also not educated on that type of thing, like they were saying like words that I've never heard of,
what,
and like
blackfishing,
yeah, like I didn't know anything about that before, so I don't want to like start talking about something that I don't know anything about, because then who the fuck am I to say stuff, do you know what I mean?
Personally, I mean, blackfishing, that one is fairly simple. It's just when white people try and act.
Yeah,
and look
now
black.
I get it, but I hadn't actually heard of it before.
Yeah, and obviously, apart from, we can't exactly be historic authorities on that subject. We've not lived as black people. But I mean, we can still say that I do think she's blackfishing a bit, and I think it's a bit weird. And I also think it's disrespectful for the black member of Little Mix.
Yeah, and I just find it crazy how the part that I don't understand is she left a group because you couldn't deal with the limelight to now go and do something solo.
Where there's more
pressure, more limelight. Yes, there's probably not comparisons, but she's then unfollowed those three girls that she worked closely with for many years, doing loads of albums with and tours with.
Yeah.
And I just find that crazy. And it's just like a One Direction situation where Zayn left and they were went their separate ways, and it is quite sad to see for like young fans looking up to them that they've literally all just dropped each other, and they're probably thinking, oh my god, do you know what I mean? Like, it is horrible.
I know, but I mean, you actually, we don't know who unfollowed who first.
No, we don't actually, we don't, but
I just thought
but
no, I'd be interested if you guys want us to talk about the Dave Chappelle stuff, because I found that very interesting. But possibly for
that's also
episode.
Something that I didn't know about until that day, and I got told about it, and
yeah, that I find those topics very interesting. Well, that was the podcast festival.
Yeah, really
that
good.
That was to be on Indoor.
Really grateful that we got invited.
Yep, here's to next year's one, and hopefully many other. If there's any podcast festival organisers listening, we are more than happy to go to podcast festivals.
I feel like I need to go to a couple more to, like, you know, get more comfortable and familiar with the situations.
Give it a year, we'll be performing at Glastonbury.
Oh, my God. No, thank you.
In one of the tents, right at the back.
Fuck's sake. For the last bit we wanted to talk about the fact that we went to the theatre last night and watched a play that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm,
it is exactly what it says on the tin. A play went wrong. It's about a murder mystery. They lived in this manor and there was loads of characters. Found out who murdered the prince, I believe it was. There was affairs and everything like that. The whole storyline and all the characters and who they are to the king. And
So it's sort of like, it's about a cast of actors that are putting on a play that is a murder mystery. And you're watching them perform this play, and everything's going wrong. So the set will fall down, people will forget lines, actors will have to change to other actors and things.
Yeah, so one of the main characters died, but then the character came back, but somebody else was playing her, and it was so funny. The lines, they kept messing up their lines, set would break. It was just, it was really, really good, so really funny. And there was one character as well who was my absolute favourite. He didn't interact with the audience, but like when the audience would like laugh or clap, he had this priceless face of like pure shock and joy.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And he was just, and he then, he would like clap like a little kid whenever we would clap. And it was like he was so fascinated because it's like almost like he's never heard of clapping before. Like that's what it kind of was.
I think he was more just like happy that the audience was reacting to stuff that he was saying.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Like, it really made me laugh. It was a good play and I do recommend it to anyone in the UK. They're currently on tour at the moment.
They are. They're touring everywhere.
Yeah, get some tickets. Go and watch it. You won't regret it.
I was very surprised when we got there that one of the leads was someone that I used to work with and that I was in a short film with. His name is Tom Bulpert and he was the detective inspector guy.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, I was in a short film, Soames War, which is on YouTube when I was in college, and I was the second lead with him and I was surprised to see him in it. And then we worked in a bar together in Chichester a few years ago.
James dropped in a text and said that he saw him and everything, and they've had a nice little chat this morning, which was really nice.
Yes, yeah, it was great. I'd love to get him on the show. And one of the reasons, and he touched upon it at the end of his show, but one of the reasons that I want to talk about it today is that there's a huge thing in the UK at the moment, a campaign about getting people back to watch the theatre, because when we went into lockdown and when people went into furlough and stuff like that, people like theatre workers and plays and stuff, they didn't get the sort of furlough support and things necessarily that we did and that other people did. And so they've struggled like a lot. And so it's really, they're really struggling for money and they need more people at the theatre. They need more butts and seats. And I think it's important if you can and if you have the disposable income to
go.
Then you should go and you should enjoy theatre because it's so much different than going to the cinema or something.
Also,
like that.
Nobody ever talks about, like, they talk about going on a date. They talk about going to the cinema. Mm. But something like that, that would be amazing for a
great
date.
Why does
nobody talk about taking their partner, no, not a partner, but like their date to a theatre?
I feel like if you were going on like a first date,
obviously
to
the theater,
it would have to be like amateur dramatics. Yeah. It couldn't be a show like Les Mis because it'd be sold out.
No.
But
and expensive. But if I feel like a couple of dates in, that's like the perfect thing to do. Like you'd go out for dinner or drinks before, then go to the theatre together. Like that's so much better than the cinema. Like I love the theatre. I haven't gone that much in my time, but every time I do go, I really enjoy it. And I'm going again to Greece next month and I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, and we've
got
Les
Mis next year. Oh, and Book of Mormon next year.
The Book of Mormon first, I think, in February, and then Les Mis in March.
Yeah.
Book of Mormon, I'm so excited.
So excited.
I've been waiting years to see this play.
Yeah.
Years. I've purposely not heard any of the songs.
Nope.
I've not watched any of the thing, but I'm a
fan. I don't really know what it's about. Like, I know what it's about, but like what happens and stuff. Like, I don't have spoilers.
No, I believe what it's about is that these two Mormon boys go over to Africa to try and preach their religion to native African people, which sounds funny. But it's by the people that created South Park, so it's going to be really pushing.
There's
the
another
line
one I want to watch. Was it like Jamie? I think it is. There's one called something. Everything about Jamie.
That's on Amazon Prime as a film.
Yeah, there's also a theatre production of
Everyone's talking about Jamie.
Yeah, I think there's a theatre of it as well. And also Dear Edward Hansen. I want to see
Evan
that.
Dear Evan Hansen. I want to see the play. I do not want to see the film because apparently the film is coming out soon, like in the next couple months, and it's not had a great write-up, mainly because the guy that you know our friend is obsessed with, what's his name? That makes
Ewan?
Yeah, our friend Ewan, but who's the guy that he's obsessed with music?
Can't remember.
But basically, he was in the original Dear Evan Hansen play years ago, and he's in this new film playing the same character, and so he's about 35, 38, playing a high schooler, and all of the other characters are high school age, so he just sticks out like a sore thumb.
It's bad, isn't it?
And I'm just like, I'm not going to see that. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I do highly. And I've got a news story related to the theatre at the moment. I'm sure you've heard.
I think also what I wanted to say is like the play that goes wrong. I wouldn't say it's an actual like theatre. There isn't like much of a story. Like there's a storyline, but it's not much of a storyline because like it gets interrupted a lot, like with laughs or with jokes or with pauses or with things that go wrong. So it's not really anything serious, like the storyline, like because obviously someone dies but then they come back as a different character, so it's hard to follow along. So if you were someone who's not really invested or interested or find it hard to stick to a storyline, that's the perfect one to go to because it's just meant to be funny. It isn't anything like, do you know what I mean?
I would say it's the Deadpool of theatre. in the fact that it's a play that knows it's a play. It's very meta. You've not seen the Deadpool movies, have you?
No.
Basically, Deadpool knows he's a superhero and he knows he's in a movie.
Really?
Which is, yeah, that's what makes him so funny. And yeah, and so he'll talk to you, he'll talk to the screen and stuff. Such funny films.
Is that
and
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Oh.
Yeah. So, Deadpool's a film where he knows he's in a movie and he knows he's in a superhero film.
Yeah, so that's basically, yeah.
And basically, the play that goes wrong, they know they're putting on a play. You know you're watching things where it's going to go wrong and you know that it's a play when you're watching it. You're not trying to suspend.
Yeah, they interact with the audience and stuff. Like, it's just funny.
Yeah, so that's what I would say it's like. And it's fantastic. It's a great funny play start to finish. And yeah, I want to end on a story that is related to the theatre industry. So one of the main big boys of theatre is, I'm sure you've heard of the name, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Nope, haven't heard of the name.
Okay, mad. I don't even know much about theatre and I know who Andrew Lloyd Webber is.
Mad.
But anyway, he has created some of the biggest plays of all time on the West End, such
good
as
for him.
Like Cats.
Ugh.
Like he made Cats,
God, of
yes.
Of course you say that one first.
Yeah, well, that's because that's what this article is about.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was it last year when the Cats movie came out?
I think so.
And it was slated by everyone. Some of the worst reviews for a film I've ever seen. One reputable review place, their one sentence review was, "The worst thing to happen to Cats since Dogs." Awful. Awful film. Well, obviously, Andrew Lloyd Webber created the original Broadway play of Cats. And he wasn't a fan of that film very much. And he said, and it says here, Andrew Lloyd Webber hated the Cats movie so much, he went out and bought a dog.
Oh, my God.
So, apparently, he said, in an interview with Variety, he said, it was going to be a blah, blah, blah. He said he found the film ridiculous. He said Cats was off the scale, all wrong. There wasn't really any understanding of why the music ticked at all. I saw it and I just thought, oh, God, no. It was the first time in my 70-odd years on the planet that I went out and I bought a dog. So the one good thing to come out of it is my little puppy. And basically, he tried to get on a plane with his dog and he said that it was an emotional support dog. And he said that I needed him with me at all times because I'm emotionally damaged and I must have this therapy dog. And the airline wrote back and said, can you prove that you really need him? And he replied, yes, just see what Hollywood did to my musical Cats. And the approval came back with a note saying no doctor's report were part required. And his dog was allowed on the plane.
That's so funny.
But ridiculous, and I think
that's so mad. Oh,
it's
isn't
so
it?
Great, isn't it? And I think it's a great way to end the show. I'm never going to watch that movie.
Absolutely.
So we're going to end the show. What a great episode we've had today.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have enjoyed our stories about Squid Games and festivals.
Our reviews.
Yeah, Squid Games, Bond, festivals, plays. It was all today, and it was all go. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please, if you've got any suggestions for stories, like Max sent in at the start of the episode. Or if you've got advice, if you need some Courting with James advice, please message us on Instagram, which is @CourtCasePodcast, or visit our website, www.courtcasepodcast.com, for all of that, guys.
Perfect.
We will see you all next week. Have an amazing weekend.
Bye,
and
guys.
We'll chat to you soon. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.